We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Jack Mannion here for another Brooklyn Buzz, and I'm joined by an incredibly special guest, one of my favorites, AJ from Nets Kingdom. AJ, the Nets won, baby, but we're out of the playoffs. What are your feelings right now? It's sort of conflicting a little bit.
Oh, man, it's bittersweet because it was a great win, and then, but at the same time, it's like we're not going to see the Nets in the playoffs, so it hurts at the same time.
First time in five seasons since 2017-18 we'll look back on it with fondness, with not fondness, I don't know, but we'll look at this game specifically, and I just want to get to some good stuff, and the good stuff was Noah Clowney tonight, AJ. Did you think of his performance? It was a coming out party. There were so many records being broken. The sixth player in NBA history with a 20-10 game in 17 or fewer minutes. The youngest ever player to do it. The second youngest ever Nets player to put up a 20-point game. You know, he's not even 20 years old, this kid. He is something else. And what he produced in those minutes was as follows. Off the bench, Noah Clowney, 17 minutes, 7-9 from the field, 3-4 from three, 5-7 from the free throw line, 10 boards, 5 of them offensive, did have an assist, did have a block for his 22 points. Talk to me about Noah Clowney, AJ.
Yeah, I feel like every game he just gets better and better and better. We've seen him kind of go off in the G League, but now when he got into the league, we're like, okay, let's see if he can do it in the league. And he did it today. I think this was the Noah Clowney, I called it the Noah Clowney game, the breakout game, because he just looked like a monster out there, and he was getting rebounds, getting offensive rebounds. I was worried about his foot speed coming into the league, like defensively. Like I was, because, you know, I thought he was similar traits. We all know he has similar traits to Claxton, but the defense foot speed is a little different, and Claxton's foot speed is just incredible. He's guarding guards all the time. So I'm like, can Clowney do that at the highest level? And we had a possession where he was guarding Tyrese Halliburton like a madman and blocked his shot off the backboard, and I caught up to him. I'm like, wow, he's got a lot better since he just came into the league, bro. And I'm so happy. I mean, we knew about his shooting, but he's starting to develop his rebounding and his strength, and it's just putting it all together.
Yeah, I have 12 individual notes in my game notes for Noah Clowney tonight. Like, it was just, there was so many, like you were talking about the offensive boards. There was the three-point shooting. Was it like 14 points or something in that second quarter? Like, that was insane. He had like a three after three after three. You know, him and Dennis Schroeder had some nice chemistry. Dennis Schroeder's wonderful at driving and finding those little dump-off passes to Clax or to Clowney. You know, his three-point shooting was insane. And the offensive board that stuck out to me was in that third quarter where he missed one, and then he missed, and then he got it the second time, and then he got an and one on it, and he had a little bit of a flex, and it was just like,
yeah, the flex.
Loved that shit. Absolutely loved it. Like, this was just a nice little drive. He hit some clutch free throws as well towards the end of the game. It was a wonderful game. You know, the big board, you know, when Pascal Siakam was cooking the Nets, you know, Clowney gets the board off the Siakam miss, which essentially secured the win. But what did you see from Noah Clowney tonight that, you know, there's people that are like, oh, well, maybe Nick Claxton is more expendable now. Maybe we should play both of those two together. What are your more general thoughts, I guess, of him within the team context after seeing a pretty outstanding performance from a young kid that's barely, you know, he's not even legally able to drink in your country, AJ.
Yeah, he's so young, man. And I see a lot of Nets fans on Twitter. Like, this is the problem, I think. I think people are just so quick to expend the players. Like, I want to keep Claxton and Clowney. Like, these guys are both young, and I think they complement each other very well. We always talked about Claxton needing somebody he can play with that can shoot, spread the floor. It opens up his game, a little bit more space for him to, you know, in the mid post and everything so he can work. This way, Clowney is just, you see the shooting today, right? He can shoot the 3-point at a high, at the highest level. So I just feel like I want to keep both of them. I know people want to say, oh, he's Claxton's replacement. But it's like, if you're going to build a young core, build a good team, you need multiple guys, you know? And I think Claxton and Clowney could be a great future center duo, power forward duo, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think that there, as you alluded to a little bit earlier, there is some similarities in their sort of skill set. And, you know, the trajectory of Nets bigs, you know, within the NBA, you know, under Sean Marks' tenure, like, that dude knows how to draft a center. Like, Jared Allen found his footing towards the end of his rookie season. Claxton took a couple of seasons. Darren Sharps found his footing a little bit this year, despite the DNP CD tonight. And Clowney's finally getting the opportunity after some good reps in the G League. And, you know, it's... I guess we're in a reflective mood now that the Nets have missed the playoffs, but it was interesting. Me thinking tonight as I was watching him play, I'm like, I just remember so many people off the summer league writing this kid off like immediately. And it was just like, really? Like, are we going to do that after like some meaningless basketball in Vegas where, and Nick and I, who don't buy deep, dive deep as much as we probably should into, you know, the college sort of game. We're just looking at his skill sets, and we're doing podcasts with different people and getting information from different people. And I'm like, this kid's going to be a player if he gets the right tutelage, the right development, and is used in the right moments. And I think Kevin Ollie's, you know, been utilizing him in the right fashion. I think tonight was a nice matchup for him too. But yeah, him and Clax together is something I want to see in these final 6 or 7 games, because I think, bro,
I was gonna say, just think about it defensively, bro. Like, if we're in a modern NBA where teams are switching, and if you have Clowney who develops his foot speed as defensively, and you already have Claxton, just think about the switching at the 4 and 5. We won't be exposed. These guys are both 6'11", they're versatile, so it's like it would work for us defensively. And then Clowney can just spread the floor, so unlike Ben Simmons, the paint is not clogged, you feel me? So it's like, it's different.
Yeah, I think the main thing is, like, whether Clax is expendable or not is a different discussion, but I think having that malleability and flexibility now for the Nets is, like, we've got two pretty great young centers that aren't Nick Claxton. You know, Darren Sharp and or Noah Clowney could be a starting 4 or 5 for Clowney, but starting 5, Darren Sharp going forward. And that flexibility gives you more optionality. And I think that's a positive for the Nets. Now, as you alluded to, you want to retain good players. Nick Claxton has had a, maybe not the best season, but has had a very good season. And I think it is showing. And tonight, you know, another double-double for him. I think he's 29th of the season, you know, his highest season record for him, which is another great moment for him. His forcefulness out there, he's dunking, his blocking was insane. We'll get to him in a little bit. I want to stick with Clowney for a little bit longer, but in terms of Clowney's rest of the season, how do you want to see him utilized? Could, I think, you know, people are calling Cam Johnson and DFS we're out of the playoff race now. Scam Johnson. Look, that was funny. Look, KC, I think it was on Nets Twitter, put that one out. I thought that was pretty funny. And look, hopefully he's okay. His leg's okay after getting a little bit hurt. But in saying that, the priorities for the rest of the season should be, give this guy 25-plus minutes. Give Jalen Wilson 25-plus minutes. The Nets have no chance of making the playoffs. They're not going to be worse than a Hornets or a Pistons or a Wizards. Let's just develop these guys. You know, it should have been that way, you know, from the All-Star break onwards. But am I wrong in saying that the priority has to be these guys? Get these guys some reps. You know, they've shown a little bit. Even Jalen Wilson's not hitting some clutch free throws and some good drives and such. It has to be development from the rest of the year, doesn't it, mate?
Yeah, I don't want to see anybody but the children and the kids. I don't want to see anybody but all the rookies, sophomores, all those guys. Get them out there, because it's like, I'm not trying to see Dorian Finney-Smith, and like, Mikhail can do his Iron Man thing, maybe give him a couple minutes here and there, but sit him too. Like, There's no point. This is development time. We're out of the playoffs. You're going to develop your young guys and see what they can do for you. Who's going to stay? Who's going to win the spots next year? Like, this is the time to do it. Not, you know, because we have a long summer ahead of us, you know, with no games. So it's like, this is the time to do it. I'm with you. 100%.
Yeah. And look, despite the fact that, you know, there's a lot of guys on this roster, I was thinking just about, I've been thinking a lot about this season and the team overall and how they performed or how they haven't performed. And we're doing a couple of pods with some different people, hopefully going forward. But yeah, I just think that the priorities that have been wrong for the Nets for a long time. And it's always taken that little bit too long to do the right thing, you know, to whether it's let a coach go, whether it's to give a player, you know, extended minutes like a Cam Thomas or start him, you know, to change, make the right decisions. You know, I guess it's better late than never. You know, we've got four more games, however many it may be. Let's at least do it now. Like, because I don't want to see, you know, Noah Clowney sent back to the G League. You know, we know what a lot of these guys are. I think Dennis Schroeder should continue to get minutes because I think his chemistry with the bigs has been pretty positive. But were there any other Noah Clowney thoughts you had, AJ, before we get to Clax, to Cam T and the rest of the guys?
Yeah. Like, I have to say I'm very impressed with his growth this year. I mean, like I said, Summer League, I'm not going to lie, he looked garbage. He looked awful in Summer League, but hey, that's a lot of players. We saw Jared Allen look bad in Summer League. We saw a ton of players look bad in Summer League. So it was just a lot of Nets fans were kind of worried about Sean Marks. Like, whoa, why would you draft this? Personally, I had Noah on my draft board before the draft. I had him on my draft board as somebody we should draft. But I didn't think, you know, I thought he was going to be more. He's like, what is he, 19?
Yep.
I thought he was going to develop a lot, like year two, year three, I would start seeing like stuff like this. You know, now we're seeing it early on. I'm like, damn, maybe we should have gave him more minutes. But I'm just really happy that he's growing as a player, and I want to see his continuing to. I just hope we use him at the four, because the five to me is just, he just seems like a natural four. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah,
but
it's,
he could play small ball five, but it's,
yeah,
like,
I mean, he played the majority of his minutes at the five tonight. You know, Clax wasn't really out there, but he did play with also like Trent and Watford a lot too, and those two could be interchangeable sort of five. So I think, and we've seen moments this season in the past sort of 5 or 10 games where all three of those guys have been out there too. So I've liked Kevin Ollie's, you know, experimentation, and I want him to remain with the organization if he's not the head coach, because I think he's got a good rapport with the guys. I think he's got, you know, the right tools to develop dudes and play a part in the development of Cam Thomas, you know, Nick Claxton, Noah Clowney, Jalen Wilson, these sort of guys. But yeah, I want to see him more at the four as well. I want to see, you know, Claxton, Clowney, 5 to 10 minutes a game, if not more. You know, Watford, we've sort of seen it in spurts, but now it's just like, okay, let's see if these guys can fit together. Does that fit defensively? Does it fit offensively? Because, as you alluded to, the Ben Simmons, Clax thing only fit because it was KD and Kyrie. It never fit, you know, outside of that. It never
outside
fit.
Of that, it doesn't look...
No, absolutely not. But in saying that, you know, Nick Claxton had a pretty good game to learn. We could chat about Claxton and Cam Thomas together, because Cam Thomas, a guy who has played very well at Summer League in the past, a former Summer League MVP, but Him tonight, 9 of 21 from the field, 3 of 11 from the three, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, 4 boards, an assist, did have the 2 blocks, 27 points, was plus 3 on the night. I like the moment, you know, speaking of Noah Clowney as well, out of a timeout, you know, he's sort of tutoring Clowney in a way. It's just like, you go at the chest and you could sort of see.
Oh, yeah, he was coaching him up.
Yeah, and I'm just like, Cam Thomas, man. Like, and I think that's come from a semblance of greater comfort and nurturing and development over the past, since the All-Star break, I'd probably say, you know, he had a great March, you know, and I think, you know, he's just got that comfort within the organization, within the franchise now, to be able to, look, I can impart my wisdom. I'm a good offensive player. His driving tonight was insane. Like, I think it's something, we know how great he is as a tough shot maker. And some of his, like, his jumpers, he's like rainbow arc threes, he's spinning jumpers, he's fadeaways, but him around the basket is something that I just really enjoy watching. He's starting to get a few more free throws that he's deserving. Look, Cam Thomas, we could speak for days about. I'm CT obsessed, whatever you want to call it. But give me your thoughts on Cam Thomas tonight, and I guess in general, the past month or so.
Oh,
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, tonight, again, he was great. Again, he's just the thing that impressed me this year was the playmaking leap. Because this year was the year for his playmaking. Because we know we've been talking about, we all know he was a bucket since he got in the league. Scoring is his thing. His bread and butter is scoring. But it's the playmaking, the defense, where it's like we were edgy about. And this year, the couple last games, we've seen Kevin Ollie experiment, Cam at the point guard. We see a really good, nice, he's making reads better, a lot quicker. His reads are quicker off the pick and roll. He's seeing Claxton when the guys are double teaming. He's seeing Claxton in the paint, spot on dimes, and that's really what like really makes me proud. Like, damn, we might need to build around Cam Thomas. Like, this is if I'm thinking, and this is an off season talk because we could talk off season like forever. But if we're thinking what the direction we're gonna go, and I ask Nets fans this all the time: is it gonna be this? Are we gonna star hunt or are we gonna go to the rebuild? Like, we're at that crossroads, right? And if we're going to rebuild, I think we have a pretty good young core of Cam Thomas, Noah Clowney, and Clax. I feel like, and Jalen Wilson, those guys are young. I feel like it's a great young core. But then there's the other side of it. Are we going to star hunt, you know, maybe let Clax go, see if we can get Donovan? Like, it's just, it pains me that we don't have a direction, bro. And for Cam Thomas, right, he should be a player that you should center your team around. You know, you should build around him. But it's not – it's like we have no direction. So the coaching and head front office don't know what to do with him. You know, yeah. They don't know what – you know.
And it's taken them so long to realize what they have on their hands. And yeah. I think that's probably been the frustrating thing because we've seen those moments. We've seen those fits and spurts. And yes, he's not a perfect player and only the one assist tonight. But I think, as you alluded to, making the reads earlier and making those passes at the right times, getting the ball out of his hands. And I think some of the time, like, his efficiency was deflated a little bit tonight because he had the ball at the end of shot clocks and he's just forced to hook something. And sometimes
the grenades. He always gets the grenades.
Exactly. Exactly. And there was one moment tonight that a couple of players I wanted to highlight from him. And, you know, he had a pass where he was doubled and blitzed by the Pacers defenders. And he finds Clax down low and he makes a really good pass, like a really deep inside feed to him. And Clax misses the layup. And I'm like, that would have been a play where, like, we would have highlighted it. We would have seen, like, the guys who do good video stuff for the Nets. And I'm like, I wanted to shout that one out. That was early in the game. And also, like, early in the game, I think it was at 11-4, him and Clax having this sort of two-man game, handoff, handoff, handoff. And then Cam T's footwork for that step-through sort of layup. I think his center of gravity and balance is something that's just like, look, we hearken it to Kyrie Irving maybe because we've seen it for an extended period. But there are a few guys that have that center of gravity and are able to manipulate their bodies and still have that strength, still have that dexterity to finish in such a multitude of ways. But it was that was a play that I absolutely loved from him tonight. Yeah. And he had a heap of big three balls and some scooping layups and some great drives and free throws. I just love watching him play. And as you alluded to, something hits different about a homegrown sort of guy. So yeah. If the Nets do decide to go the route of Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, whoever else it might be, it'll be bittersweet.
Are you ready to give him up? Are you ready to give him up if we do have a Donovan or a Trae?
Yeah, man. This is the.
I'm not ready to give CT up.
I'm not. I think it. And look. I try to be as objective as possible when I discuss Cam Thomas, but I think it's also hard not to because we have this, your connection to him as a guy that was brought into the organization, has had his bits of spurts. We see the talent. We see him, you know, be nurtured by the likes of Kevin Durant, mentored by those guys. And we get him, we see him have extended opportunities now. We're like, hey, everyone else, can you guys see this shit now too? And he comes back from injury, has had it like poor performances here or there. But, you know, I can't remember what the stat was tonight from Yes, where it was like he's had 5 or 6 25-point performances, you know, straight and, you know, for at home. And whereas the rest of the Nets team has had like 4 or 5 themselves. And, you know, he's with the likes of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving of guys that have had so many, you know, extended scoring performances. And scoring isn't everything, but yeah, I don't know what the answer is to, because either way, Nets fans and we'll probably buy into either one. But if Cam T isn't a Net long term, he's going to be a fan favorite. You know, he's going to be one of those guys that will continue to watch, like a Jared Allen, a Caris LeVert, these sort of dudes. You know, even D'Angelo Russell, who maybe left under more acrimonious circumstances. But in saying that, I'm loving Cam T right now, and I'm going to enjoy these last couple of games of him hopefully continuing to ball out.
I think he's, trust me, I think I'm. It's so hard because it's like we never had a homegrown star. Like Cam could be really, he's on a trajectory to be a superstar. Like he's on that trajectory, in my opinion. I know people, his ceiling was like Jordan Poole and what these other
Jordan Clarkson, Lou Williams.
Like I think it's way, way higher than that, because some of these numbers, like you said, when he first got into the league, the 3.4, the 340-point games. You know, I think he's second in Nets franchise history with 30-plus point games. So it's like some of these numbers, you just don't walk into the league and just do this stuff type of stuff. Like, it's not normal. You know, no. It's not normal. So it's like, I really think he could be a homegrown star for us, because we don't really – we never had a homegrown star. You know, it sucks.
No, yeah. Vince Carter was announced that he's going to be heading into the Hall of Fame, and it sort of makes you think about – you know, him, you know, somewhat, and Jason Kidd, though, and Richard Jefferson, these sort of guys in terms of what they've done for the Nets franchise overall. And it's just because of like the different priorities for Nets ownership and Nets front offices, there's been so much turnover for superstars and players here and there. And it's just like, so many fans, you know, the Mikal Bridges trade has been done to death. We don't necessarily need to discuss that right now, but seeing Cam Thomas, seeing Noah Clowney, seeing Jalen Wilson, seeing Darren Sharp have his moments, seeing all these guys, you know, Derek Whitehead, hopefully, you know, getting some game time next season. It's just like, there's something about a rebuild that is fascinating and alluring for real diehard sort of fans. And look, it may be, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Mikal Bridges next year lead the Nets to a 4 seed or whatever. I'm less high on that, but but whatever it is, I'm trying to focus on right now and enjoy what Cam Thomas is producing game after game, not Clowney, Nick Claxton, these sort of guys, because who knows what we could be talking about next season for both of our platforms on Twitter and stuff, because there could be change of foot. It could be the same thing. Like, we could be talking about the repetition of like, oh man, we're going to watch Mikal Bridges try and do this, Cam Johnson try and do this. But Cam Thomas, Nick Claxton, you know, Noah Clowney, these sort of guys are sticking around, then there'll be something to hold on to a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I find myself enjoying, and this season has been so hard to enjoy. Like, this has been a rough season for Nets fans. But don't you find it more enjoyable watching Cam Thomas, Clax, Clowney, the kids go, instead of like Mikhail Dorian, Dennis Smith Jr.? Like, it's just more, my eyes are just more, it doesn't hurt as much watching the Nets when the kids are playing than this season, I'll say, at least.
No,
it's been watching Mikhail and, you know, those guys. So it's like,
exactly. It's like the Squidward meme, future. that's just what I think of it. It's just like, that's what we can hold on to because the Nets are in that sort of middle purgatory sort of range. It's like, give us either one or the other. Like, you know, we spoke about on our platforms, you know, was it going to be Damian Lillard? You know, the Nets are pulling it there. And then all of that, cool. All right, let's go in all on that. Or let's just sort of try and be an average-ish sort of team. And the Nets have not had the capabilities to be anything better than what they are right now. But Nick Claxton, AJ, tonight had another really, really positive game from Clax. 31 minutes, 7-10 from the field. Had a near 15-15 game. 14 points, 13 boards, 2 assists, 4 blocks. Some of his blocks tonight, man. Like, he is one of the
Oof.
top five, maybe that's being conservative, shot blockers in the NBA.
Yeah,
And
he is.
yeah, his
Yeah.
inconsistencies can be there, and I agree with that. And it's why I have my hesitations of giving him like a $25+ million deal. But at the same time, you look at the raw talent that he's got. Claxity has raw talent in abundance.
Yeah, I agree. And Clax, I literally think Clax was one of the best. I think he would probably be best outside of JJJ, maybe the best shot blocker in the NBA.
Probably Rudy
but now
Gobert.
Wemby's here. Wemby's here, so it's a whole
okay.
Different...
Wemby's like here, and then there's just like everyone else. Like I don't. Yeah, guy has like six blocks in his sleep, and he does it on like the MVP and one of the best off.
Wemby's insane, so he's just like different level. Now that Wemby's in the league, he might average like 9 blocks. But yep. Claxton was at least top three. He's top three right now, in my opinion. Now there's been a lot of discourse in Nets Twitter and that's the Nets fan base about okay, get him off my team or trade him. Or let him go. We're not paying him 20. For me, I think Clax is key to our young core. Like I said, even though we have Clowney, Dayron to me is still, I'm not 100% sure on Dayron. I personally would rather keep Clax. I would give him the 20 to 20. I would say his worth is about 20, 21 mil. I wouldn't say anything past that. We paid CJ 100 million this year, and Claxton had a better season than people don't want to say it, but Claxton had a better season than Cam Johnson this year, and I'll put facts on that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, am I wrong?
You're not wrong, mate. And I think it's worth thinking about like each individual decision about contracts and free agency. You know, individually rather than thinking of it as a whole, because it's like if you go, oh man, Cam Johnson, Ben Simmons, Nick Claxton, these guys, how do you build a team around that when those guys are average, slightly above average, good players, whatever. I think if Nick Claxton gets 20, 21 million, you compare that to Jared Allen, you compare that to Nikola Vucevic, Jakob Poeltl.
I don't think that's expensive either.
I don't think, especially in today's NBA where the cap is going up, guys, Jalen Brown's getting $60+ million.
60 million.
So $20 million for a very good starting center is what I would say Nick Claxton is, and all defensive caliber, has like really elite skills. Yeah, that's the not youth. Bad. And you think about, would that be tradable in the future? Yeah. I think that like there would be other teams, whether it's the Mavericks, whether it's who, like OKC, you know, they would be able to easily find a deal for Nick Claxton. So I think retaining, you know, looking beyond him and looking at him as an asset, you know, you look at guys on the Nets like right now, Mikal Bridges on a lovely team-friendly deal, and DFS a pretty good deal as well. Dennis Schroeder got one more year and he's on a pretty good deal too. But the Cam Johnson thing like sort of puts everything into... Like it mixes everything up, and it's just like, well, we can't give Nick Claxton this because we gave Cam Johnson that. Which is like, well, like you can't like right one wrong by making another wrong. Like two wrongs that
make
it right. So
two
like I think
right,
with Cam Johnson, like look, if the Nets are to go after a Donovan Mitchell or a Trae Young or whoever else it might be, if Cam Johnson is in that deal, then like I think that deal is worth it. Like I think right now, until he proves otherwise, he is money feeler. Like in what the Nets' possible goals are.
And I think the Nets, like, I blame the Nets for this because we didn't have a direction, right? And I feel like we overpaid Cam Johnson because he's Mikal's bestie, twin, you know, that I feel like we gave him too much money for what he was worth. I mean, I guess you could say he's worth around what he's made, but it's like, it's tough to say. And you know why? I'll prove this. I think Claxton's a better asset, like you said, to then Cam Johnson, because you think about Claxton's 24 or 25, however, he's still young. You can trade him in the future. He's an asset. You think about his defense. He's one of the top defenders in the NBA. And I can argue the isometrics, the defensive isometrics, and the block shots. I argue that all day. And then I know his offense. He does. I mean, he has the free throw shooting, which is bad, and he needs to shoot more. But he's still giving you 12 points a night. So it's like, that's what centers are usually in the range of. Like, you look around the centers around the league, they're 12, 10, you know, double-double. I mean, so it's like, he's a better asset to me than Cam Johnson is. And I don't know why we gave Cam Johnson the bag unless the front office is really set on getting this star in the offseason. Like, you got to tell me which star we're getting. Because if not, then just flip CJ, flip Mikal, and let's go rebuild. Because you're trying to, you know, mess with my head with these decisions you're making. Are you paying Cam? Are you paying Nick? What are we doing?
It's sort of like dipping your toe in so many different pools, and it's just
Yeah.
like where are we going? You and I have argued about that on Net Kingdom and
Yeah.
on YouTube and on my podcast about like just pick a direction and
Pick a
go with it.
direction.
And look, I think Cam Johnson is better than what he has shown this season. Some of it has been
Yeah.
unlucky with injuries and such. And look, I think the deal is 484, and then it's got like 13, 15, $16 million in
They put the
incentives.
money in the back end, right? I think they put
Yeah,
the
and I
it in
think it
like.
is, and highly incentive laden, which I think is positive, because I remember Nick and I reacting as soon as that deal was announced. I was like, what the hell? Nick Claxton is not going to be able to get paid if we give this bonus to
Yeah.
Cam Johnson. And it's just like,
Yeah.
okay, there's so much in incentives. That's somewhat, a little bit more palatable. But
Yeah.
the way that he's played this season,
Oh, it's been
he's
bad, bro.
been pretty bad, pretty
Yeah.
bad. But we'll
It's been
see
awful.
how he performs next season, and if he can rebuild his value. But he is a guy that is, when you look at go through the Nets roster, and we did a little bit before, DFS is a positive asset. Big Bridges is a positive asset.
Yeah.
Schroeder, Claxton, Thomas, Watford, even Lonnie Walker, who we can discuss maybe at a different point in time. But yeah, it's
Yeah.
just it hampers your ability to make decisions. And we talked about that flexibility and malleability with Clowney and Clax because of those
Yeah.
guys performing so well and outperforming their general value. Having
Yeah.
CJ perform as poorly as he has limits the Nets in what they can do in terms of whatever route and direction they do decide to take.
Exactly. And then you think about Ben Simmons' contract. So you had CJ and Ben Simmons' contract. It's like, if we don't get these off the books, what are we going to be like? What moves are we going to make? We're going to be stuck trying to be
Yeah.
under the cap, you know?
AJ, I want you to go with this. Like, we've discussed a bit about the game. It's been good discussing the players in general, but we've got a little bit of time left. What do you think? What do you want to go with this pod before we wrap this one up?
Oh, I mean, I guess we could talk a little bit off season. I mean, who do you I want to know what star you think, because I was really good. 'Cause by the way, follow Jack on Twitter, because Jack is the best Twitter. I love the jokes and the posts. So I was reading your Twitter, right? And I saw you post the star list of what the Nets, who would be the Nets. I guess explain it to us, the match
Yeah,
or who's
so
the best for the
I
team.
was looking in general about guys that have been rumored to the Nets, guys that are in are free agents, and I'll
Yeah.
be discussing this as well on a future pod, but I'll give it a little bit of a snippet now. I listed Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, Alperen Sengun, Jalen Green, and I think the last one was Paul George, and I
Paul
also had
George,
Karl Anthony Towns in there too, and all those
yes.
guys have been rumored to be in or out, and I think all of those, and seeing the varying responses to that is where I sort of went, okay, this is why the Nets, like, it's so hard to sort of project what they could and or will be. Do you go after a Jalen Green and a Sengun and sort of look to that sort of rebuilding route? Do you go all in on a Mitchell or a Young, and sort of that's the sort of route which seems the more likely path? I personally don't agree with it. I've said that time and time again. I think that if you that Bridges deal for Green and or picks, or Green isn't in it, or Sengun is in it, we've heard Shams Charania say that Sengun and Green, they need to sort of pick a lane because they've got these Cam Whitmore and they want to
Yeah,
go
they got
star
so many
hunting
young
them.
pieces.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and they want to go star hunting themselves for really big fish. And the Nets are also
Yeah.
kind of in that route, but they might be going for a sort of lesser star, not your Lucas and your Embiids, but maybe like your Mitchells and Youngs and your Towns. So look, I think that it's all about, I'm going to give the cop out answer now and then say that, like, it's
Yeah.
about what price you pay for the other guys in return. And you have to go, okay, well, if
Okay.
Towns is going to be worth only a couple of these sort of picks here, and how many of those Mavs and Suns picks do you give up? Do you get any back in return for a pick, for a trade, for like a Jalen Green or whatever? Can Jalen Green and Cam Thomas fit together? Some people don't think about that. I don't really care. I just want to get talent on the roster. I think that's the main thing. It's just about finding a semblance of a direction, and whatever star or player allows you to do that, just do it. Like, let's just, I'm for the rebuilding, not the retooling. But I think the team and what we're hearing from accredited reporters and credentialed reporters is telling us we need to be ready for a retooling, AJ. And I don't know, what of those six guys appeals to you, if any?
Oh man, I mean, I think the best fit for us would I people gonna say I'm wrong, but I think Trae Young is, because this team desperately needs a point guard, and Trae Young is one of the best passers in the NBA. Like, he has a really good gift for passing, bro. Like, his he has one of those like sixth senses kind of passing, you know, and I just love the way he passes the ball. So I think this team is desperate for a point guard. So I feel like if we surround Trae Young with good, because we have a bunch of wings on this team, versatility. If we surround Trae with good defense, defensive wings, long wings, guys that can really get after it defensively, I think that Trae would probably be the best fit. And then I'm gonna go after Trae. I think I like Karl-Anthony Towns. I think he could fit in that power forward, depending what we do, because we have Clowney, Clax, you know, whoever who goes in the trade. But I think Towns would be a really good fit on this team, too. So those are the two guys I'm looking at. I want to ask you about Donovan, because I'm trying to, in my head, I'm like, how does Donovan work here? Like, it's like another, it's like basically a stronger Cam Thomas or a better Cam Thomas if we had
Yeah.
Donovan. But I'm trying to see how, like, how do you think Donovan would fit on this team?
Stylistically, on the roster, I think he is like a wonderful pull-up shooter. I think he is great at creating. I think he's an incredible athlete. I think he's got decent enough defensive chops. And I think that little sort of spark that he sort of has, like he's a, I think in a vacuum, I think he's a slightly better player than Trae Young, but I think Trae Young has more elite skills in different areas. Like I think Donovan
I
Mitchell
agree.
is like just more a more well-rounded player,
More nondescript.
and that might fit better in Brooklyn. And maybe like we heard him sort of say to Cavs media that he's not going to be sticking around. Who knows? I think it would work. I don't know like how much it would work. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm warming to, and like I saw him get like an insane like inside feed the other day, post by I think Nekias Duncan. I'm like, wow, I didn't know like Donovan Mitchell had that passing bag. In his repertoire. But yeah, look, at the end of the day, I'll be going in and trying to advocate for whatever moves the Nets do make, but I'm gonna have skepticism no matter what, because I think both of us are somewhat on the rebuilding sort of routes, whether the Josiah and Sean Marks agree. That I guess is a that's a discussion that we could have for another 40 minutes. But the Zoom's running out here, AJ. Any final thoughts, mate? Please tell us where everyone can follow you or the Nets Kingdom crew on all your platforms. It's always a goddamn pleasure to chat Nets hoops with you, mate.
Yeah, man. I love it here, man. Appreciate you for bringing me in tonight, and it's been a great talk. You can find us at on Twitter, Nets Kingdom AJ. On YouTube, type in Nets Kingdom. We're on Instagram also. YouTube, we're gonna try to dive in. Stay tuned for a Donovan Mitchell video, because we're gonna we had we graced the tip today, but like we're trying to get into the real nitty-gritty of how Donovan's gonna fit. So on YouTube, check it out. We're gonna try to break that down for you guys. And yeah, that's it. Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, Nets Kingdom.
The Nets content is going strong all across Nets as well. Make sure you're following AJ and Nets Kingdom everywhere, all the Nets podcasts, the Brooklyn Buzz on all streaming platforms. AJ, it's a pleasure, mate. Thank you so much for joining me.
Appreciate it, man.